Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia.
Good morning. Our first reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, God's love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent us his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates his brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here today and to be able to freely gather in your presence, unlike many Christians around the world. We thank you for the gift of each other, and for the word, and for song, and for children, and for that wonderful image of a father caring for us. Beautiful. So Heavenly Father, do that now. Speak to us. Speak the truth to us, because as John says, that's what faith and love are founded on, your truth. So for each person here, Heavenly Father, speak words of truth that create love and faith as we spend a bit of time in this part of John's letter. So we commend this time to you in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Quick check-in time with each other. Little Jacob was a friend of yours, and Aaron, that was a big one, Aaron, he was the person they were resting in. What do your friends rest in, do you think? To find security, peace, calm. What kind of things do you notice that people generally kind of look towards for their hope? So we get to the centre of this little letter. It's a pocket rocket, this First John. And we get to the middle of it, and most people would say that this is the high point, or the bit that John really wants us to get. Sorry about the language for those who haven't been around, but John views the world as an anti-Messiah world. Remember, those of you who are here, the world is not neutral, it's anti-Messiah. Inside my heart is an anti-Messiah problem still. This natural waywardness of my heart against God, it's still there. And of course there is the anti-Messiah himself, who is still on the job, prowling around like a roaring lion, trying to deceive the saints of God, etc., with these flaming arrows of accusation, shame, accusation which leads to shame. So this is John's talk for the last 6 weeks, if you weren't here. So I'm just trying to fill you in. So in this anti-Messiah world, with this anti-Messiah heart, we all possess, and the ongoing assault of the anti-Messiah himself, John says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." Now, I wonder how you hear that. How have you been hearing that? Or even if you're here today and you've never heard it for years, how do you hear that? "Let us love one another, for love comes from God." I suspect that we might not hear it the way John intends, or at least not with the full weight behind it, or his real intention behind calling the people to this kind of love. Maybe we hear it actually, "love one another," as just another expectation that we can't fulfill. Just another rule. Just another crushing expectation that we know we're not that good at. Is that how you hear it? I don't know. You might hear it that way. Something like this. Well, yes, God has loved me. Yes, that's what the Bible says, and church people and the songs we sing. And I know that. I know. He has loved me. So now he set me an example that I have to spend the rest of my life copying, living up to. If you hear it that way, there's more to hear. There's more to hear. So leave that there, park that there for a minute. Now, John, of course, as we've learned over these weeks, is always real. He's always very realistic about where we actually live and what it actually means to live in this anti-Messiah world with this anti-Messiah heart. So he says, "No one has ever seen God." Okay, so he acknowledges that you and I don't have the ability to see God very clearly. This is just how it is. We really struggle to see God at work in our day. We don't find it easy. Sometimes we do, but most of the time it's just hard to see that God is at work in this, even this. So no human being has ever seen God. John says that in this anti-Messiah world, people don't acknowledge Jesus, don't see Jesus as he really is, because they don't know the Father. And as we said, I don't know, a few weeks ago, the Father and the Son are a two-for-one deal. If you deny one, you deny both. If you hate one, you hate both. It's like a coin, two-sided coin. So, no one has ever seen God, but someone has. Someone has. Way back in the first part of John's Gospel, you remember where we hear it at Advent, about December every year it pops up, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," and you know that reading. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God, clear as a bell, as in closest relationship with Father, has made him known. So someone's seen him and someone shared that vision with us. So here's how it goes. Human beings have never seen God himself. God has shown himself enough, though, to someone who shared him with us, the Messiah, in blood, in flesh, in bones, in words, in breath. Acknowledging that one, Jesus, is acknowledging the Father, because they're one. Follow the logic? Yeah, good, okay. So we actually can see enough of God that he himself is love. Self-giving, self-sacrificing, at great cost, agape love. Loves the world. He loves the world. You know John's beautiful words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." He's the guy that said that. Beautiful. And if we love one another, God obviously lives in us, and somehow his love is being made complete as we love, somehow. So, here's the deal, I think, that he really wants to seal with you and me today. The world has no chance, a snowball's chance in hell, of seeing anything of God outside of you loving. Us loving. With that agape, self-sacrificing, self-giving love. If we don't love, they don't see. That's why he's so big on the love thing. This great, perfect, loving God of ours makes his great, perfect love complete in imperfect people who simply do the work of God, which is, in John's speak, to believe. The work of God in John's world is to simply acknowledge him, to believe that God is actually good and that he actually loves the world and loves me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. So, can you see that this, Jesus is not merely an example that you have to work your butt off to try and be like? What would Jesus do? He's actually the love that is in you being completed every day of the week. So here comes the heart of John's message. Our loving is God's revealing. That's it. Our loving is God's revealing to the world. Our God shows himself in hidden ways in our feeble attempts, any small attempt to love. So the world has no chance of seeing, knowing, acknowledging, big words for John, the love of God, Heavenly Father, that kind of love, except that it sees love in action by imperfect people, you and me. That's his message. Can you see why John is fixated on this love thing? Last week, the text had 17 variants of love, the word love. This week, I don't know how many, if you counted them, there'd be lots. The man is into love. He was probably the inspiration for that Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. Mate, this guy said it a long time before the Beatles ever did. Jeepers. Anyway, and that's why he uses such strong language, which really jars our ears, to get us into the import of why it's important to love. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Ouch. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Wow. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child beautifully held in his arms. He uses such strong images to try and get us to the point. Love is key. Why? Why is he bang on about love, love, love? Why does he do it? Because love is the world's future. And if we don't love, it hasn't got one. You get it? That's why he's so full on about learning to love each other, because it's the world's hope. That's why I asked you the question, what do people hope in? Anything but the love of God. True. Breaking of the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, and the other nine are just how you do it. Yep, that's our problem. We are called to love. They have to see it to get him. Just like you, don't you? You got to see it before you'll believe it. You got to work it out practically. Sounds so daunting, though, I know. I know this loving business is jolly hard work, especially if you're connected to me. It's really hard work. I know. It's hard. It's hard to love, isn't it? And why love when everybody else doesn't give a toss? Really? Why love when the feeling of revenge and payback is a lot stronger and feels a lot sweeter for at least a couple of minutes? Why love when it's so hard to love, to take that way? But we can do it. We can do it. Fear God's punishment or payback from people. We fear that for some reason. John's saying, can you lose the fear of punishment today? God's going to get you? If that were true, you'd already be toast. He's not wanting to get you. There's no fear in, there's no love there. That in love there's no fear of punishment. So we can lose that today. Don't need to fear God's punishment. He doesn't want us to fear that, so we can get on with loving freely. And remember last week, how John alluded to that amazing scene in Elisha, the prophet Elisha. I don't know whether you know the story. I won't tell it now. It's too long. But the idea is servants outside the front veranda of Elijah's house, Elisha's house, sweeping the floor or something, looks up, there's 1,000 very angry Syrian soldiers with horses and chariots at the door, goes back inside. Elijah, what are we going to do? He who is for us is stronger than anyone or those who are against us. Servant goes back outside, sees chariots of fire, you know, on the hills behind. So the people who think they're surrounding the prophet, they're actually surrounded by God. And this is what John pulls in and says, we can do this. We can love. He who is for us is stronger than the one who is against us. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the anti-Messiah world. That's what he says. We can do this, folks. And I know you can because I see it all the time around here. There is always more love from the Father. Always more love. Two other reasons why we can love. First, as we know, love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. Who sung that? Some old codger, some folk guy. Love is not a feeling-based thing. Just because there's no love doesn't mean we can't love. We can actually love our enemies, as Jesus called us to in the Sermon on the Mount, because you can do love without feeling love. You don't have to feel anything, just love. Acts of kindness, service, forgiveness, generosity, hospitality, even to your enemies, you know. So we can actually do love because it's not feeling-based. It's love-based. And the other cool thing is, this love that's working in us is not coming from me or you. It's him. Let us love one another because love comes from God. So I don't have to conjure up the willpower or the strict holier-than-thou spiritual discipline or climb a holy mountain, or hear the sound of one hand clapping, whatever that is, or eat, pray, love all the way through my life, to find some moral or psychological or emotional power. No, this love is not my love. It's his love being completed in me. It's free and it's wild at work within you. So John says, how do you know that? Well, because of what happened today, another person immersed in the Holy Spirit. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. So, friends, we are not only here to copy Jesus in his loving, we're here to be his love in our living. We're not here to copy Jesus in our loving, but his love in your living. You can be completely dependent on God for love, not you. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we can know and we can rely on the fact that God loves me no matter what. How do you find it? How do you get to it every day at Wednesday at work, you know, when it's all going on? How do we get what we need to overcome that conflict, that issue, that difficult space? Well, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask. That's how we connect with, find, get God's immutable love. We ask, ask, ask every day. Ask for this perfect love that drives out all my fears, removes my fear of punishment from God, and all that shame and accusation, and makes the way clear for an open-hearted me today at work, an open-hearted man, an open-hearted woman. So see today, friends, just in case you haven't already, this Christianity thing, this Christian life, for John, is no mere hobby religion. It's love down to your boots and back up. And it's in and out like air in your lungs. It just is. And we live in it. We, the privileged few, we live in that love, in, out, up, down. And he provides the love and he says, go do it. Go do it. Why? Because if they don't see it, they won't know it. If they don't see it in you, they won't see him. The world's future depends on the love of Christians. That's what he's saying, I think. You read it. You tell me. Until they see that bloke on the job, that woman at work, that family at the hospital, that child at kindy, that young person at school, that senior down at the club, losing the fear, doing the love, letting love live, they won't see. They can't. Friends, it's incumbent upon us to let love live indeed, because the world needs it. In the name of Christ, amen. And the love of the Lord Jesus Christ keep you on the narrow way of love. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petri Lutheran Church, Nuriutpa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetri.org.au